This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The FBI hacks a smartphone. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, March 29. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Justice Department says it no longer needs help from Apple. Investigators have cracked an iPhone used by a terrorist in the San Bernardino shootings.
Police in Washington shoot and wound a man who they say pulled a gun at the U.S. Capitol Visitor Center.
A domestic airline in Egypt was hijacked and forced to land in Cyprus.
And is your prescription medicine right for your metabolism?
Talk to your doctor and see if this could be an explanation for why you're not reacting the way you should. And in certain areas, like looking for the right antidepressant, which can often be a matter of trial and error, tests like these might really help tell you and your doctor whether you're more likely to have a good reaction to one than another.
Wall Street Journal reporter Melinda Beck on genetic tests, helping predict how people might respond to common medications. She's here in about 20 minutes. A man under a court order to stay away from the U.S. Capitol grounds was shot and wounded by authorities after they say he took out a gun and pointed it at them as he tried to enter the U.S. Capitol Visitor Center. Authorities identified him as Larry Dawson, a 66-year-old minister from Tennessee. He'd been arrested back in October in the district after he allegedly disrupted Congress by shouting that he was a, quote, prophet of God. Capitol Police Chief Matthew Verderosa.
Based on the initial investigation, we believe that this is an act of a single person who has frequented the Capitol grounds before, and there is no reason to believe that this is anything more than a criminal act.
Police said Mr. Dawson was going through security screening yesterday afternoon at around 2:40 when at least one officer opened fire. Loudspeaker alerts warned tourists in the center of an active shooter, and officers yelled at people to get down.
All of a sudden, the police came running through the hallway saying, go, 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 follow us, follow us.
Police swarmed the Capitol grounds, raised barricades, and temporarily put the Capitol building and the White House under lockdown. Congress is not now in session. Well, the government says it has cracked the iPhone used by a terrorist during the San Bernardino attacks last December. The Justice Department indicated in a court filing that it no longer is seeking Apple's help and is dropping a lawsuit to force the company to unlock it. We get more from this morning's Dave Duncan.
The government says an unidentified third party helped crack a security feature of the iPhone 5C without erasing its contents. The government maintained it was looking for access to one phone, but Apple argued that asking for a code would create a backdoor to all such devices that was exploitable by others. The filing doesn't indicate what method the FBI used, nor does it say if any evidence related to the attack was found on the phone. The FBI has about a dozen similar cases pending. Gordon?
Thank you, Dave. A justice spokeswoman, by the way, indicated that while this particular phone is no longer at issue, the broader fight over encryption-protected technology is likely to continue. Late yesterday, Apple said the case should never have been brought because it would have set a dangerous precedent. The governor of Georgia says he'll veto a bill that critics say would have curtailed the rights of Georgia's LGBT community. The measure would have given faith-based organizations in Georgia the option to deny services and jobs to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. Supporters of the bill said it was meant to protect religious freedom, while opponents have described it as anti-LGBT. Governor Nathan Deal.
Georgia is a welcoming state. It is full of loving, kind, and generous people. And that is what we should want.
The governor said he was not reacting to pressure from the faith-based community or responding to the business community, which warned that Georgia could lose jobs if he signed the bill. A Georgia lawmaker who supported it has called for a special session to override the governor's veto. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News.
When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Tuesday. The leading White House contenders have a few more years on them than we're used to. In fact, as Mike Lillis at The Hill reports, the 2016 presidential race is shaping up to be the oldest matchup in the country's history. Mike, give us a little history.
Well, you know, Ronald Reagan, of course, is the oldest ever to have entered office, and that was, of course, in most of our lifetime. So we're kind of used to having someone old and, you know, go into the White House. But since then, he was 69 at the time, I should say. But since then, there's been kind of a trend in the other direction. And we've had a series of younger presidents. We've had Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and Obama. Clinton was 46, Bush was 54, and Obama was 47. And so there's kind of been this move towards a fresh face. That we have not seen this year, at least in terms of the front runners. Trump would be 70 on Election Day. Clinton would be 69. And if you take the average of those two, we haven't seen anything anywhere near it since 1848. So you're going back a long ways to have two elderly people at the top of the ticket, if in fact that does happen.
Right.
And then of course you got Bernie Sanders, who's 74 years old, and then there are younger candidates. Obviously, Ted Cruz is 45. So not all of this fits a clean narrative, but the front runners are older people.
And elderly, I guess, too, is really not the same definition it was maybe when Reagan ran, right? I mean, 69, 70 might not be considered very old these days.
Well, that's right. You know, when we first observed this, we said, well, wait a minute, is there anything to it? And so in asking the question, we tried not to be leading in any way. We just said, hey, you know, is this significant? Is this the voters sending a message at all? And the first response we got back in almost all cases was, you know, probably not. You know, people are living longer, people are retiring later, and voters are just used to that trend. And so, you know, it's not unusual to see older people around the workplace. Talked to Stephen Hess, who's been around forever, who's been around Washington forever. He came to Washington during the Eisenhower administration. He said Eisenhower was 69 when he left office, and he was considered, quote unquote, the old man.
Mm.
And now you're talking about 69 or 70 year olds going into office. And of course, Reagan was 69, as I mentioned. So there is a trend in the other direction just because we're living longer and people are living, you know, people are healthier, older.
We're speaking with Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. He's got an interesting piece entitled Clinton Trump would be the oldest White House matchup in history. The age has not really been an issue, I guess, because the two fronters, Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton, are roughly the same age. But would it be an issue like it was between Obama and McCain in 08? Say, if Cruz is the GOP nominee and he'd be, what, 15 years younger than Mrs. Clinton, or actually more, 24 years.
Well, you would certainly hear about it a lot more if that were the case. You know, someone mentioned that with Sanders running around out there, and then it's tough to find anybody more energetic than he is. And he's energizing all these young voters. So age hasn't been an impediment to him. Nobody's saying he's disqualified.
Yeah.
And Clinton wishes that she had the excitement among younger voters that Sanders does. So there's no real correlation, at least on the Democratic side, between age and who goes out to vote for you. On the other side of that, if Clinton were to run against somebody like Cruz, you would hear the age issue, I think, a little bit more. You have heard it in that context because Rubio and Cruz are seen as, you know, the younger generation. They would be the ones to attract the millennial voters. But of course, Trump has done well with basically all demographics on the Republican side. So he erodes that argument just a little bit. And Cruz has such an uphill climb right now that, well, we'll see what happens at the convention.
Right.
Yes, the answer is yes. You would hear a lot more about that, and Cruz would make the argument that she is probably over the hill. Her experience is not an asset, but a liability.
Right.
And, you know, she's too entrenched in the Washington establishment. I'm a younger face. I'm a fresher face. I'm a more energetic face, and I'm closer to the next generation, and that's all on my side.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Lillis at The Hill. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's, and we're wishing Harry's a happy three-year anniversary as a business right now. And if you're new to Harry's, you can help celebrate by picking up on this special deal. Three of their expertly crafted five-blade German razors, plus a handle and shave cream for just $10. I like supporting Harry's as a small business and watching them grow. Just two guys with a dream putting out a quality product. Harry's makes for a great gift idea as well. I use Harry's. My dad uses Harry's. Makes good gift for husband, father, brother, uncle, maybe a nephew. Harry's blades are super sharp and provide a close, comfortable shave. And Harry's is completely guaranteed to get a full refund if you're not happy. So stop with those time-consuming trips to the drugstore to buy overpriced razors. Find what you need and check out in 30 seconds flat at Harry's.com. The Harry Starter Set's a great deal. For just $15, you get a handle, shaving cream, and three razor blades. And Harry's will take $5 off that first order if you use the promo code DEAL. Go to Harry's.com. That's Harry's.com and enter the code DEAL at checkout. Again, Harry's.com and code DEAL. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to most of the passengers on board, a hijacked Egyptian airliner that was forced to divert to Cyprus have been freed, except the crew and some foreigners. Egypt's Minister of Information, Sharif Fathi, speaking through a translator, says the plane was carrying passengers from Alexandria to Cairo.
We've been informed there was a passenger with a suicide belt who had asked that the plane be diverted.
The man hijacked the plane for personal reasons believed to be something to do with his ex-wife. Belgian authorities are asking for U.S. help in examining laptop hard drives and mobile phones seized from raids over the past week. Belgian officials have seized computers and multiple phones from alleged terrorists and sent them on to the FBI. Meanwhile, officials say they are searching for a third man who participated in the terrorist attacks at Brussels Airport. After releasing the man they had initially thought was the assailant. President Obama is calling on journalists to hold presidential candidates and themselves to a higher standard. Speaking at a journalism prize ceremony, the president lamented the circus-like atmosphere of the campaign so far.
As we're seeing, it allows hostility in one corner of our politics to infect our broader society. And that in turn tarnishes the American brand.
The president added that he's dismayed by the divisive and often vulgar rhetoric that's aimed at everyone but focused more on women and minorities. A 76-year-old former security guard serving a life sentence in the 1957 slaying of a 7-year-old Illinois girl could go free soon after a prosecutor found faults with the investigation and new evidence corroborated an alibi. One of the oldest cases in the U.S. ever to go to trial will be back before a DeKalb County court today. Jack McCullough was convicted of the 1957 crime just 4 years ago, but the DeKalb County state's attorney says a review turned up serious missteps during the investigation and prosecution. And the ESPN five-part documentary series O.J. Made in America will make its debut on ABC before moving to the All Sports Channel. The 7.5-hour project has been building strong buzz since its debut at the Sundance Film Festival in January.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, is your medicine right for your metabolism?
You don't have to be a retail giant or government agency to be the victim of a costly data breach. If you run a website and collect customer data, your small to mid-sized business is just as likely to be targeted by hackers. The Barracuda Web Application Firewall provides cost-effective instant security against automated and targeted attacks, making this WAF a must-have for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Web App Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/WAF.
Hey, glad you're with us. As you know, people can respond to drugs very differently. A medication that brings relief for some patients might show no benefit at all in others or even cause harmful side effects. So more and more genetic tests are designed to help predict how people are likely to respond to many common medications, from antidepressants and antihistamines to pain relievers and blood thinners. Wall Street Journal reporter Melinda Beck has the story. Melinda, what's going on?
So as we all know, medicines don't work the same way in everyone. Sometimes they have bigger effects, sometimes they have a little effect, sometimes they have bad side effects. And it turns out that a lot of these are due to very small, very common variations in the genes that control the enzymes that break down and absorb and eliminate medicines from our bodies. And there's a growing number of tests out there that can look at people's genes and in these specific areas and tell them in advance how they're likely to react to certain drugs. And the list is getting longer every day. The FDA has this kind of information on about 130 different prescription medications now. The thing is that very few people know about these tests and very few doctors use them.
Wow. All right. So what do we do as patients or potential, you know, users of this stuff?
Well, this is one of those booming areas of medicine where it's still not quite clear whether this is really the secret to eliminating a lot of medical costs and adverse drug reactions that send almost a million people to the emergency room every year, or whether it's just more unnecessary testing. So first of all, ask yourself, is this, have I had trouble with medications in the past that don't work very well or seem to have bad reactions? Or is this an issue for me? And if it is, then it seems so trite, but talk to your doctor and see if this could be an explanation for why you're not reacting the way you should. And in certain areas, like looking for the right antidepressant, which can often be a matter of trial and error, tests like these might really help tell you and your doctor whether you're more likely to have a good reaction to one than another.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal health writer Melinda Beck. Her piece is called "Is Your Medicine Right for Your Metabolism?" All right, with antidepressants are kind of fresh on my mind just based on a recent story, but I mean, isn't that one of the least effective or among the least effective, or the one that just requires the most trial and error?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And a lot of times it can be months or a year before people and their psychiatrists find the right combination for them. There are lots of different antidepressants out there, and there are some fairly common gene variations that mean that people who are poor metabolizers of certain enzymes, which can be, you know, 10, 20, 30% of the population, really either metabolize certain antidepressants so slowly that they build up and can really get kind of an extra added dose and side effects in their bodies, or eliminate them so quickly that they don't have time to have effect. But there are other antidepressants that go through other enzymes, so you could see whether you would have some guidance as to whether or not you would be better off starting with one group or another. You know, I think this is one of those theoretically really exciting areas of medicine, and it goes hand in hand with what we're hearing about more personalized medicine. There's more and more recognition that one size doesn't fit all, particularly in medications. So I think that we're going to see a lot more of this kind of medical advance in the future.
Thanks, Melinda. Wall Street Journal health writer Melinda Beck, who's based in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Hello, I'm Jerry Mathers. I was the Beaver in Leave It to Beaver. And 20 years ago, I almost died from type 2 diabetes. When I was diagnosed with type 2, I was shocked. My blood sugar was through the roof. Now, the very same natural remedies I use to control my type 2 diabetes are available for you in a super easy program called the Diabetes Solution Kit. And I should know it works. I use the very same techniques to drop 40 pounds of fat, get my blood sugar under control, and watch my type 2 diabetes fade into thin air. If you have diabetes, I urge you to try this step-by-step plan. It has all the natural techniques I used, and it works a lot faster, too. I'm Jerry Mathers, and if I can do it, you can do it, too.
If you'd like to normalize your blood sugar and stop taking your diabetes medication completely with your doctor's approval, go to diabetesbeaver.com. That's diabetesbeaver.com. Reverse your diabetes in as little as 30 days by going to diabetesbeaver.com. That's diabetesbeaver.com now.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, March 29. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A hijacked domestic plane in Egypt. Most of the passengers have been released. The FBI hacks a terrorist's iPhone without help from Apple. California is raising its minimum wage. Emails between NHL executives indicate a link between hockey fights and concussions. The U.S. men's soccer team in a must-win against Guatemala tonight in Ohio for the World Cup. And police never thought someone would fall for their humorous prank on Facebook. That story in about 20 minutes. The latest assertion from Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is that America has gone from a wealthy and powerful country to a poor one. He recently told the Washington Post that we're a debtor nation, referencing $21 trillion in debt. But Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says while the narrative appeals to millions of Americans who feel they're falling behind, they're not poor exactly. Rick, how do you see it?
Well, that's what Donald Trump said in a recent interview with the Washington Post. I'll tell you what he said. We were a very powerful, very wealthy country, and now we're a poor country. We're a debtor nation. How are you going to get rid of $21 trillion in debt? So Donald Trump is basically saying because the national debt is so large, and it's not $21 trillion, it's about $19 trillion. I'm not sure where his $21 trillion figure came from. But at any rate, he's saying because the debt is so large, we've become a poor country, and that is just demonstrably false. We are not a poor country, and there are all sorts of ways to demonstrate that we're not. I'll just give you a couple. First of all, in terms of all the advanced countries, you know, the ones in Europe and Australia and Japan and so forth, the United States has the highest disposable income of anybody. That comes in at an average of about $45,000. And the next closest country is Australia, which is $35,000. So we're about $9,500, $10,000 ahead of the number two country there.
Yeah, it seems like more of a fluid definition of poor.
Yeah,
if you want to say we're...
It does have a lot to do with how do you define poor and how do you define rich. And even though economists would say, yes, the United States is one of the richest countries in the world, I also take issue with anybody who says the United States is rich. It is certainly among the wealthiest countries, but it has one of the highest poverty rates among advanced economies. It has one of the highest levels of income inequality among the advanced economies. We have bad healthcare outcomes compared to most of Europe, for instance. And yeah, I think while the United States is clearly not a poor country, I just don't think you can call it a rich country when 18% of the people live below the poverty line. So we're a wealthy country, but we have some things we could do better.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. His piece is called Latest Trump Whopper, America is Poor, referencing remarks that Mr. Trump made in a Washington Post interview. Maybe he was saying when it comes to fiscal management, we do a poor job.
That's not exactly what he said, but if he were to say that, he would be right.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would argue with that. I mean, the national debt is 105% of GDP right now. It should be around 60% of GDP, and Congress just has not spent. It has not been disciplined in terms of spending. I mean, I think nobody would argue with that. But that does not make the United States a poor country. In fact, the fact that the United States can get away with deficit spending kind of tells you how wealthy we are. Investors all around the world are still willing to loan the United States almost as much money as it wants at interest rates below 2%. If the United States were a poor country, it would never be able to get that kind of money. Other countries pay 6%, 9%. Interest rates in Greece were getting close to 20% for a while. So the market thinks the United States is a wealthy country and is willing to gamble an incredible amount of money on the United States' ability to pay its bills. Again, we are not a poor country.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. 21 minutes now before the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Well, since November, the sports channel that airs New York Yankees games, YES, has been blacked out on Comcast as the two battle over terms of payment. Now, in the offseason, it wasn't a huge controversy, but as opening day approaches, just 6 days from now, the stakes are rising and acrimony between the sides is mounting. That's always the case in these negotiations, right? However, this time, as Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Futterman writes, America's sports rights bonanza is showing signs of age. Matthew, what have you found?
I think what we've basically found is that the tides are turning a little bit, and there seems to be a shift in the power of what has been essentially a 20-year argument between distributors and programmers about how much people are actually willing to pay for sports on television. I think for years the distributors were really sort of held hostage, is wrong the word, but they were really at the mercy of the programmers who have these exclusive rights to local sports teams. But I think what you're seeing now is there's just so many alternatives, and you have a whole sort of generational shift of people who actually don't even have cable subscriptions. And, you know, there's just a real shift in leverage, seemingly, between the content and the power of this content that was with local sports teams and the distributors.
All right, so this generational change, does that mean that there's less interest in sports, or they have, I don't know, different ways to access it or different interests?
People are still really passionate about sports. They just have a lot of other options, and they seem to be able to live with the idea of not having their even the best known, most beloved sports teams on television for every game, every regular season game. Mm. You've seen that there's you know, more than half of the Los Angeles market is entering its third season without the Dodgers, and it really hasn't seemed to have caused much of a ruckus out there. Mm. 15 years ago when the Yankees were fighting with Cablevision, it was like you were keeping vital nutrients away from needy people.
That's right.
But there's just so much more out there now. There's so many more ways to fill that sports bug.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Futterman. His piece is called "Cost of Sports TV Raises Stakes in Yankees and Comcast Fight." Are there other disputes like this that are going to come up in, I don't know, the next year or two that we're going to see?
I think
really
you're going to see them happen more and more over the next 5 to 7 years. And you're already seeing it. I mean, you've seen it. We've seen it in Los Angeles for several years now. We saw it in Houston. And, you know, the Houston channel that has the Astros and Rockets continues to be not particularly well distributed. It's changed owners. Comcast owned it at one point and had to put it into bankruptcy because its distribution was so limited. And this all goes back to the teams demanding very, very high rights fees because they have very high salaries to pay, and then those costs eventually being passed on to consumers.
Could that ultimately affect, say, baseball salaries and bring them down?
I think eventually that's where you may be heading if we get to a point where the companies tell the teams, you know what, we just can't pay these rights fees anymore. We have to renegotiate these deals, and you do see some collapse of the market. Now, they have very long-term deals, in fact, so it will take a while in order to get there, and baseball's been pretty good at starting to try and find other ways of selling its products, but there has been nothing like the guaranteed stream of cable revenues that have just forced franchise values to skyrocket over the last 20 years.
All right, thanks, Matthew. Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Futterman, 13 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to the state that went from 49th to 10th best in corporate business income tax, where 2,000 burdensome and unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years, and is now home to the 6th best entrepreneurial climate? All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice of your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. This portion of the program is brought to you by LifeLock. As you know, some people really hate doing their taxes. Did you know, by the way, that all identity thieves need to file a fake tax return is your Social Security number and your date of birth? It's that easy. Identity thieves can also use information from your tax documents to commit other crimes, like draining your bank account. And they can do that any time of year, not just tax time. Fortunately, there's a lot to like about LifeLock. If you're a victim of identity tax fraud, their team of specialists based here in the U.S. will work to resolve your case. Maybe you think you're okay with free credit monitoring right? They alert you when there's a problem with your credit, but they don't work to fix an identity theft problem. LifeLock will work with you to fix tax identity fraud problems, as well as, say, loans or credit cards opened by a thief in your name. LifeLock memberships start as low as $9.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Visit LifeLock.com now and use the promo code Gordon to save 10% on your membership. That's LifeLock.com with the promo code Gordon to save 10% on your membership. Or call 800-916-7170. That's 800-916-7170. It's 8 minutes before the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshinka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Apple says it will continue to increase the security of its products after the FBI announced it has successfully broken into an iPhone. The device was used by one of the attackers in December's mass shooting in San Bernardino. A federal judge had ordered to Apple to help the FBI's hacking effort, but the government asked the judge to vacate that order. In a statement, Apple sticks by its position that the government's demand was wrong, but says it will continue to provide some help to the government. Georgia Governor Nathan Deal's plan to veto a religious freedom bill has supporters vowing that the issue isn't going away. Deal says Georgia shouldn't permit discrimination to protect people of faith.
I find it somewhat ironic that some in the religious community today feel that it is necessary for government to confer upon them certain rights and protections.
The bill would have given faith-based organizations the option to deny services to gay and transgender people. Some of the top groups supporting the measure are set to discuss their next steps this morning. The Obama administration will issue a proposed rule today that aims to increase medication-based treatment for tens of thousands of people addicted to opioids. The proposed rule, along with a commitment from 60 medical schools to heighten training for prescribing opioids, will coincide with the president's visit to Atlanta, where he will participate in a panel discussion at the National RX Drug Abuse and Heroin Summit. When President Obama first nominated Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court, Senate Republicans were united in their wall of opposition. No meetings, no hearing, no vote. And while Garland's path remains an uphill battle, some Republicans are starting to shift their tone. 2 weeks into the fight, 16 Republican senators now say they will meet with Garland. And women who built planes during World War II have been honored as part of Women's History Month. More than two dozen former Rosie the Riveters were flown to Washington to visit its military monuments. Immortalized in the iconic wartime poster, these women didn't just help with the war, but set off a seismic shift in the role of women in the workplace.
Wonder how that nickname would be received these days. Rosie the Riveters.
I think they could get away with that.
It's a good recognition for them, by the way. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. We've been talking a lot about the Great Courses, and now they're offering something new, the Great Courses Plus Video Learning Service, an unlimited access to a huge library of the Great Courses lecture series in so many fascinating subjects, like science, history, cooking. They're now giving our listeners, too, an incredible opportunity. Watch one of their popular courses, Understanding Investments, for absolutely free. Understanding Investments is presented by award-winning professor of financial economics at Duke University, Connell Fullenkamp. The course explains the fundamentals of investing for those not familiar with it and also covers areas more experienced investors find beneficial. Just for a limited time, The Great Courses Plus is offering this morning listeners a chance to stream this course, Understanding Investments, a $215 value, and hundreds of other courses for free. Stream from any internet-connected TV, PC, or through the Great Courses Plus apps. But this free offer is only available for a limited time, so hurry. Go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/deal. Thanks for being with us. Why don't we wrap up the hour with a stupid criminal story? A Texas police department said a bogus post on Facebook about meth and heroin contaminated with Ebola was meant to be humorous, but one suspected meth user missed the joke. UPI says the Granite Shoals Police Department took to Facebook last week with a tongue-in-cheek post warning that local supplies of methamphetamine and heroin were contaminated with Ebola. The post read like this, quote, "If you have recently purchased meth or heroin in Central Texas, please take it to the local police or sheriff's department so it can be screened with a special device. Do not use it until it has been properly checked for possible Ebola contamination. Contact any Granite Shoals PD officer for testing," end quote. Police said Chastity Hobson contacted police late last week after concerns that her meth could be contaminated with Ebola. She was arrested on drug charges. No word on whether she actually placed the handcuffs on herself or read herself the Miranda rights. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.